Nemoto presents classical music giants. Frédéric Chopin, Poet of the Piano. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 11 minutes. The room is small, lit by candlelight, the air filled with perfume and whispers. In the corner stands a piano, polished, its lid raised, its keys waiting. A young man, slight of build, pale, with eyes both weary and luminous, takes his seat. He does not bow or boast. He simply begins to play. The first notes are soft, intimate, as if meant for only one listener, yet everyone present feels addressed. The sound is unlike anything they have heard, fluid, poetic, tender, and suddenly blazing with passion. This is Frédéric Chopin, the poet of the piano, a man who transformed the instrument into a voice capable of expressing longing, joy, sorrow, and hope, often all in the same breath. Chopin was born in 1810 in Zelazowa Wala, a village near Warsaw. His father was French, his mother Polish, and from both he inherited refinement and determination. Music surrounded him from birth. By the age of six, he was playing the piano with astonishing facility. By seven, he was composing dances and polonaises, his small hands already shaping melodies that carried the rhythms of his homeland. Teachers marveled at his gifts, but the family knew genius had to be cultivated carefully. Poland at the time was under foreign rule, politically unstable but culturally vibrant. In that environment, Chopin grew into a symbol of national pride even before his teenage years. He studied at the Warsaw Conservatory with Josef Elsner, who encouraged him to follow his imagination rather than adhere slavishly to rules. Chopin absorbed Bach's counterpoint, Mozart's clarity, and Polish folk traditions. He performed in salons and at court, his reputation spreading quickly. Yet he remained shy, preferring small gatherings to grand stages. Already he had discovered his true stage was not the concert hall but the salon, where music could speak quietly, intimately, directly to the soul. In 1830, as Poland stirred with uprising against Russian domination, Chopin left Warsaw for Vienna, carrying with him the sorrow of exile that would never leave him. He hoped to conquer the musical capitals of Europe, but Vienna was indifferent. His delicate style seemed out of step with its preference for bravura display. He moved on to Paris in 1831, and there he found his true home. Paris was the cultural capital of the Romantic era, teeming with artists, poets, writers, and musicians. Chopin entered that world not as a boisterous performer but as a refined creator. He played rarely in large halls, preferring private salons where his subtlety could be heard. His music was immediately admired by Liszt, Berlioz, Heine, Balzac, Delacroix. He became part of the Romantic circle, yet always slightly apart, a figure of quiet intensity. In Paris, Chopin earned his living mainly as a teacher. His lessons were coveted, his fees high, his manner both demanding and inspiring. He showed students not how to pound the piano but how to breathe through it. He insisted on tone, touch, phrasing. For Chopin, technique was never mere mechanics, it was poetry in motion. At the same time, he composed constantly, nocturnes, waltzes, mazurkas, ballades, etudes, polonaises, scherzos. Each genre he touched he transformed. The nocturne, developed earlier by the Irish composer John Field, became in Chopin's hands a vessel for lyricism, melancholy, and intimacy. His nocturnes sing like arias without words, melodies floating above murmuring accompaniments. They are night thoughts, reflections of solitude, whispers of dreams. The mazurka, a Polish folk dance, became his means of keeping homeland alive in exile. Each mazurka carries the rhythms of village dances, but filtered through art, colored with nostalgia and invention. To Poles, they were national symbols, To the world, they were windows into a culture's soul. His etudes redefined what a study could be. Earlier etudes were drills, exercises for fingers. Chopin's are concert works, dazzling in virtuosity yet expressive in character. The revolutionary etude, written in 1831 after the fall of Warsaw, is a torrent of fury and defiance, left hand racing in perpetual motion, right hand declaiming like a cry of protest. His waltzes, far removed from Viennese ballroom glitter, are intimate, often tinged with melancholy, miniature worlds of elegance and irony. His polonaises, by contrast, are grand and heroic, embodying Poland's spirit. The polonaise in A-flat major, heroic, thunders with pride, each chord a declaration of identity. Chopin rarely wrote for orchestra, though his two piano concertos are beloved. He was not drawn to symphonies or operas. The piano was his universe, sufficient to contain all his ideas. He expanded its palette, making it sing, sigh, roar, and whisper. He exploited pedal and harmony to create colors unknown before him. His harmonic daring, chromatic shifts, modulations, paved the way for later composers like Wagner and Debussy. Yet his music never loses clarity. Even at its most intricate, the line remains clear, the emotion direct. His personal life was marked by frailty and passion. Physically, he was delicate, plagued by ill health from youth, likely tuberculosis. Emotionally, he was reserved but intense. In 1836, he met the writer George Sand, whose real name was Aurora Dupin. She was strong, independent, older, a celebrated novelist. Their relationship scandalized society but sustained Chopin for nearly a decade. With her, he spent winters in Paris and summers in her estate at Nohant, where he composed some of his greatest works. She cared for him during illness, provided stability, yet eventually their relationship dissolved amid tensions and disagreements, leaving Chopin isolated. Despite his frailty, Chopin performed occasionally. Audiences who heard him never forgot the sound. Delicate, nuanced, expressive beyond description. He did not thunder like Liszt, he caressed, shaped, enchanted. His touch was legendary. Liszt himself, a titan of the keyboard, marveled at Chopin's ability to produce so much with such restraint. He played rarely, partly from shyness, partly from health. Each performance was precious, and his reputation grew not from spectacle but from reverence. As the 1840s advanced, Chopin's health declined. His relationship with Sand ended bitterly in 1847. He toured Britain in 1848, supported by admirers, but the effort exhausted him. In October 1849 in Paris, he died at 39. At his funeral, Mozart's Requiem was sung, and his heart, according to his wish, was returned to Warsaw, preserved in a church, a symbol of his enduring link to Poland. Chopin's legacy is immense. He did not live long, he did not write symphonies, he did not create operas. But within the keyboard, he created universes. His works are intimate yet universal, rooted in personal feeling yet resonant for all. Pianists revere him, audiences love him. His music is technically demanding, yet its essence is poetry, not display. He is the poet of the piano, the composer who revealed the instrument's soul. What makes Chopin a giant is not only his mastery but his singularity. No one else sounds like him. His nocturnes invite us into night's solitude, his mazurkas carry us into a homeland lost and remembered, his etudes challenge both fingers and heart, his ballades unfold narratives without words. He turned music inward, from grand statements to personal confession, yet those confessions speak to millions. Listen to Chopin late at night and you hear companionship in loneliness. Listen in a crowded hall and you feel intimacy across distance. His melodies curve like sighs, his harmonies ache like memory, his rhythms dance like heartbeat. He gave Romanticism its most personal voice, one that whispers rather than shouts, that lingers rather than declaims. Frédéric Chopin remains timeless. Every pianist returns to him, every listener finds solace in him. He reminds us that music's greatest power is not in grandeur but in intimacy, not in thunder but in tenderness. His piano sings the human heart.